As one of its deficit reduction measures, the two-year budget accord aimed to save $6 billion over the next 10 years by reducing military retirees' annual cost of living adjustments to 1 percentage point below inflation from working age until they reach age 62. Because of a legislative oversight, the cutbacks also applied to retirees who can't work, those who retired because of a disability. Congress ironed out that glitch when it passed an omnibus appropriations bill earlier this month. But Senator Carl Levin and his colleagues on the Armed Services Committee say the COLA cuts are still unfair.
I believe that the COLA reduction is wrong because it targets a single group, military retirees, to help address the budget problems of the federal government as a whole. While reforms have been made to the federal civilian pension system over the past several years, those changes applied prospectively to new employees. By contrast, this change to military pensions will apply upon implementation to current retirees, their families, and survivors.
That lack of grandfathering is one issue that outraged military advocacy groups. Another is that the bill sidestepped the ongoing work of a special commission Congress appointed just a year earlier to take a holistic look at the military compensation system and put it on a more sustainable fiscal footing. The law that created that panel specifically told its members not to recommend any changes to the benefits that are currently enjoyed by current military members and retirees. So the COLA change came as a bit of a surprise to the Pentagon, says Christine Fox, the acting Deputy Defense Secretary.
To my knowledge, no DOD officials were consulted on the details of the BBA, including the CPI minus one provision. The department fully supported the changes made to the provision to exempt military disability retirement and survivors. Moving forward, we support a comprehensive review of this provision, including its effects on retirees not currently exempted. If the Congress decides to retain the CPI minus one approach, we strongly recommend it be modified to include grandfathering. Because of the complex nature of military retirement benefits, I would urge that the Congress not make any changes in this area until the Military Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission presents its final report in February 2015. There are many ways we might change military retirement, including far more fundamental reforms. Because the CPI minus one provision does not go into effect until December 2015, there is ample time for such a careful review, including waiting for the commission to provide its input.
Given that breathing room over the next 2 years, defense officials made clear that they're wary of lawmakers doing any more tinkering before the commission reports back to Congress early next year. For example, if the commission decided it was appropriate to make some kind of change to retiree COLAs, Admiral James Winnefield worries they'll be denied the opportunity if lawmakers act in haste right now.
We believe changes to our retirement plan, if appropriate, should only be made after the commission takes a holistic look at the many variables involved in such a plan. Accounting for changes in the cost of living is only one of those variables, and it's far too soon to reach a conclusion on whether it should be part of a grandfathered plan. I'd also say that however and whenever the specific provision is addressed should not permanently remove cost of living adjustments as a potential variable in a future grandfathered plan. In other words, we don't have to rush into this. We just need to make sure we get it right.
But at least among members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, lawmakers have no interest in waiting. After the avalanche of angry emails and phone calls they've gotten from military members and retirees over the last month, they're eager to put the issue behind them as quickly as possible. Here's Maine Senator Angus King.
I always thought that the passing of the first budget out of a divided Congress in 28 years was somewhat miraculous, but I think today we've established that this provision, this COLA minus one provision, confirms that because we can't find parenthood. It was a immaculate conception, I think, this provision. Immaculate misconception might be a better term for it. I don't think we should wait till the commission. I think we should fix this. It's not a huge item. It should be fixed, and I think our veterans and people that are receiving pensions for some odd reason may not fully trust us to resolve this in 2015. So I think we should take care of it as soon as we can.
Several senators have already introduced bills to effectuate that repeal, some of which attempt to find offsetting savings elsewhere in the federal budget, and some of which do not. Winnefeld says it's important to remember, though, that the COLA change's savings tally wasn't just $6 billion. That's the amount the reduced payments to current retirees would save the U.S. Treasury's mandatory accounts over the next decade. But since DOD also has to make about $500 million in payments from its annual budget to pre-fund future retiree accounts, Winnefeld says it'll have to make up that sum out of current operating dollars.
Because of the COLA minus one provision, there was about $500 million a year that we're already going to have to contend with in non-mandatory ways, which will involve readiness, capability, capacity choices that we will not be able to make because of that. But we're prepared to deal with that. We understand it's a factor among all the many other factors that we have to deal with when crafting a budget.
Even if DOD doesn't like the COLA change Congress made last month, the department still thinks it's vital to reduce the upward pressure on overall personnel spending in the Pentagon. While lawmakers have permitted a few changes to past practice over the last couple years, like limiting pay increases to 1 percentage point this year and allowing minor hikes in retiree health care fees, Winnefeld says Congress needs to resist the urge to award military pay raises that go beyond the administration's budget request and hold back on expanding other benefits.
Our nation, with the support of Congress, has provided substantial increases over the last decade in compensation that have more than closed previously existing gaps with the rest of our nation's workforce. We in uniform are very grateful for all of this. It means a lot. However, demanding at this point that our compensation not only remain at its currently high relative level, but that it continue to rise faster than that for the average American is simply not sustainable at a time when our entire budget is under great pressure. This growth has been substantial, and rightly so. By the 1990s, military compensation had fallen to a deeply unsatisfactory level relative to the rest of the working population in America. The quality of our all-volunteer force suffered as a result. To address this, with the help of the Congress, we substantially increased the compensation growth trajectory in the late 90s and in the post-9/11 period. These increases worked.
The Defense Department's Quadrennial Military Compensation Commission's regular comparisons of military benefits found in 2002 that a mid-grade enlisted military member was paid at about the 50th percentile of civilian workers with similar education and work skills. By 2009, after several consecutive years of pay raises at all ranks, those same service members were paid at between the 85th and 90th percentile compared to private sector employees.
Understandably so during a decade of war. While these percentile numbers are not a goal, they are an indicator that we can and should gradually place compensation on a more sustainable trajectory.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio.com and 1500 AM.